Okay, somehow today is the 25th of Elul already. When I say somehow, I'm not sure how we got here so quickly. But in a couple of days, we're going to be hearing the shofar. Hopefully, we've been hearing it through Chodesh Elul, but we'll really be hearing it on Rosh Hashanah. And I want to try to understand, what is it about the shofar that's so special? The shofar is special. The shofar, there's no question, the shofar is a very special experience for a Jew. But it's just like this raw, I mean, we've heard about it, we've read about it, you know, the Rav Soloveitchik animalistic cry. We have some explanations, but nothing really explains kind of the mystery of the shofar. What is it? Something happens, not just down here, something in Shemayim happens when we hear the sound of the shofar. It's the centerpiece, really, of Rosh Hashanah, both in terms of its placement in the davening and the centerpiece in terms of the mitzvahs hayom. Rosh Hashanah is described in the Torah as a Yom Trua, as a Zichron Trua. Rosh Hashanah is not described in the Torah as a day of judgment per se. The Torah doesn't talk about the looming image of the scales. It doesn't talk about apple and honey. It talks about the shofar. The shofar is what Rosh Hashanah is really about. And there's something magical that happens when we hear that sound of the shofar. A couple weeks ago, maybe it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, in Mishpacha magazine, there was an article of an artist in Eretz Yisrael, a very sweet Jew who lives in Tzfat, spends part of his day painting, part of his day learning Torah, and he describes there, as part of this interview, he said, his name is Yoel Tergeman, he said, several years ago I was invited to an exhibition arranged for Hadassah women from Canada. And he had all of his paintings on display, a variety of paintings, Jewish themes, some more obvious than others, some more abstract. I was sitting to the side when I saw an elderly couple standing and staring at this painting, rooted to the spot. It's a painting that appeared in Mishpacha magazine, a painting of a shofar. A very amazing painting. I have a sort of a picture of it here. It's this painting over here, this blue abstract looking shofar. Very beautiful design. I went over to the couple and the woman said, "We're thinking to buy this painting." I answered that I was honored, and it was clear to me that what attracted them was the shofar. Classic Jewish symbol. I guess that among all the abstract paintings, they were looking for something that tangibly symbolized Judaism. Except that in the course of the conversation, I learned that the husband wasn't even Jewish, and the wife hardly had heard of Shabbos. The woman explained, "We saw many stunning paintings in this exhibition, but when we passed this one, I felt my whole body tremble." I assume she had some distant memory of Rosh Hashanah. So I said to her, "Oh, I see this shofar touched something inside of you." She looked up at me perplexed, "Shofar? What's a shofar?" The woman didn't even know what a shofar was. She had no idea what this image was. And in that minute, I understood the meaning of the pasuk, Shmos Perech Chaf. They saw the voices, V'chol ha'am ro'im es ha'kolos. And Yoel Tergeman goes on to say, he says, that's exactly what I was trying to paint. I wasn't trying to paint the body of the shofar. Even though to anyone who's seen a shofar, we can easily identify his painting. But I was trying to paint the blast that's echoing from the beginning of the world. I painted the essence of the shofar, not its outward shape. Even though, again, superficially, it's a picture of a shofar. And this woman who had never even heard of a shofar, somehow was able to see it. No? That's awesome. And she walked by this painting and she said, this woman who's married to a non-Jewish man, said, "I walked past the shofar and I felt something. I felt myself tremble when I walked past it." So I want to try to understand a little bit, again, as we prepare ourselves to hear the sound of the shofar, what exactly is it that's so captivating about the shofar? The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the shofar comes to wake us up, the battle cry, the animalistic scream. But there's something very delicate about the shofar, that even a Jewish soul who doesn't even know what a shofar is stirred. Somehow that spirit is stirred inside of a person. And that's what happens on Yom Trua, as the Pasuk describes it in Parshas Pinchas, or Zichron Trua, as it's called in Parshas Emor. There's something about the shofar that just captivates us. It happens to be that shofar is a pretty easy mitzvah. It's actually such an easy mitzvah that when the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos on Kuf Lamed Aleph explains the Pasuk in Bamidbar Chavtes, "Kol Meleches Avoda Lo Sasu," that on Yom Tov you're not allowed to do avoda. You can't do meleches avoda. Says the Gemara, Yotzas Tekiyas Shofar, that comes to exclude Tekiyas Shofar, which is a chaskil, but it's not a malacha. It's not a labor. And Rashi says, because the Pasuk says, Meleches Avoda lo sasu, Meleches Avoda, Rashi says, Shal Torach. Meleches Avoda means something that's strenuous. The shofar is not such a hard mitzvah. I don't want to take away from the, you know, to those people who've been preparing themselves to blow the shofar and working hard. And the truth is, when the Baal Tokeah is up there and he's, you know, he's blasting out those 100 blasts, it is a bit of effort. But from our perspective, most of us who are the audience, it's not such a hard mitzvah. Even the bracha that we make on the shofar reflects that you don't really have to do so much to do the mitzvah. I mean, the Baal Tokeah might be huffing and puffing, but what bracha do we make on the shofar? The bracha on the shofar is the bracha upon hearing the shofar. The bracha is lishmoa. A lot of people get this wrong. If you stop someone in the street and say, what bracha do we make on the shofar? Oh, probably, I don't know, litkoa or al tekiya shofar. The bracha on the shofar, as recorded in Shulchan Aruch, is lishmoa kol shofar, to hear the sound of the shofar. There were some rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam and others thought the bracha should be al tekiya shofar, but it's not the tekiya that's the mitzvah. It's the more passive listening, just to hear the shofar. Lishmoa kol shofar. It's a chachma ve'enu malacha. Even for the one who's blowing it, it's a skill. Once you learn how to do it, it's not such a malacha. Rashi says, it's not a malacha shel torach. It's not meleches avoda. That's so hard. It's relatively easy. Lishmoa kol shofar. Just show up and hear the sound of the shofar. But my friends, like everything in Yiddishkeit, there's a superficial way to do things, and there's a deeper way to do things. And if you're even deeper, there's an even deeper way to do things. Because to really hear the shofar, and I don't want to say something that sounds cliche, because it could sound a little cliche, but we'll try to develop it in a deep way. To really hear the sound of the shofar, not just to say I heard the sound of the shofar, but to really hear what the shofar is saying to us, that is an avodah. That's a serious thing. And lishmoa kol shofar, the bracha on the shofar, is reminding us it's not the Baal Tokeah's job to be mekayim the mitzvah for us. It's our job to tune in and to listen carefully and to ask ourselves, what is the shofar saying to me? I know it sounds cliche, but it's a serious question you have to ask yourself in shul on Rosh Hashanah. What is the shofar saying to me? This is the vehicle that the Gemara says, malchios zichronos shofros, if I want to be mamlech Hashem, and I want Hashem to remember me for good, the Gemara says, how do you do that? B'shofar. The shofar is the vehicle to win the day, to be mamlech Hashem, to achieve the goal of Rosh Hashanah. A Jew has to ask, what is Hashem saying to me with the shofar? I just mentioned to someone a few moments ago. I wasn't planning on saying it in the shir, but it's a good remez, so I'll add it to the shir. There's a sefer called Bris Kahunas Olam. Very, very deep sefer. I don't understand 99% of what it says there. It's a couple gematrias you can understand. And he explains it al pi kabbalah. You can just understand them more simply. He says, we know the pasuk, rabos machshavos b'levish. A person has all sorts of calculations, lashon avar, looking back at the past year, planning for the next year, all sorts of ideas in my head. V'atzas Hashem hi takum. But the atzas Hashem is what is takum. So the Bris Kahunas Olam says, atzas Hashem, the advice of God, is gematria shofar. Shofar is Gematria 586, Atzas Hashem. The shofar is Hashem begging you. Hashem doesn't talk to us the way we talk to each other. We have a lot of complaints sometimes. I daven all the time and Hashem doesn't talk back. And guess what, my friends? On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem speaks back. And He speaks to us through shofar. He talks to us in the language of shofar. That is the Atzas Hashem. The advice of the Rabbeinu Sho'olam is, listen deeply to the shofar and you'll hear what I'm trying to say to you. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has a discussion. The Gemara has the following concern. The Gemara wants to know, Trei kalei mi mishtami. Can two voices simultaneously be heard? Trei kalei, two kolos, mi mishtami. Can they be heard? It's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Chav Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara in Chav Zayin clarifies, it's talking about in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, the shofar was accompanied by two silver trumpets, chatzotzos. The shofar actually is not described by the Torah, except by Yovel. The Torah doesn't even use the word shofar in the context of Rosh Hashanah. It talks about Yom Trua, Zichron Trua. You have to figure out that the shofar is even the instrument of Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara wants to know, will the sound of the shofar, when it's surrounded by two chatzotzros, Will the sound of the shofar be distinguishable? Or will it just get lost somewhere in that conglomerate of sound? Trei kalei mi mishtami. And the Gemara on Daf Chav Zayin comes to an amazing conclusion. The Gemara says, you know how you're able to hear the shofar? Why isn't it drowned out? Two silver trumpets, one shofar. You'd think it would get drowned out, no? The Gemara says, kevan dechaviv, since it's precious, it's important to you. Since Jews love shofar, apparently, yahiv daite, one sets their mind, vishama, and hears. If it's important to you, since the mitzvah of shofar is dear to you, it's chaviv, so a person is able to hear the shofar, even when what? Even when there's a lot of other noise, when there's those two silver trumpets blasting, surrounding, literally surrounding the shofar. I think Chazal are telling us such a profound thing. Chazal are telling us that if you want to hear the shofar, we may not be in the Beis HaMikdash, and the silver trumpets were very holy, Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, but we're also, our shofar is also surrounded by a lot of noise. No? If the shofar is Hashem trying to communicate with us, if Hashem is saying, I want to give you the mission statement for Tav Shin Pei, it should be a good year. I heard one of the contemporary Gedolim say, Tav Shin Pei is Rosh Tevos, Tehei Shanas Peduseinu, which should be the year of our redemption. It's nice. Tehei Shanas Peduseinu. If we want it to be a year where we experience Geula, whether it's personal or collective, I have to minyan, and everyone broadcasts their opinion, and they live stream their opinion, and everyone wants to be heard, and everyone's voice is out there. We can communicate in ways that, you know, you could never imagine several decades ago. Amongst all the voices, a person has to say, the shofar is still chaviv to me. It's precious to me. It's important to me. Kevin de chaviv, it's important. Yahiv daite vishama. I pay close attention, and I'm able to hear the sound of the shofar. I'm able to hear the sound of the shofar. I told you, the shofar is not mentioned in the Torah with regard to Rosh Hashanah. Where do we find the shofar in the Torah? Where is the shofar of the Torah? And I think it'll help us to understand how we can still continue to hear the shofar amidst all of the noise, amidst all the background noise, because it's still chaviv to us. Yes, even in Tav Shin Pei, even in the coming year, we still care deeply to hear the sound of the shofar. We want to hear the Atzas Hashem. We want to hear what God's advice for us is, what the mission statement is. Where do we find shofar in the Torah? It's not a rhetorical question. Where do we find shofar in the Torah? Har Sinai, we find the shofar by Har Sinai. Shmos Perak Yutes, Perak Chaf. The first time we encounter shofar in the Torah is by Kabbalah Satorah. And that was also what Kadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to us. The Atzas Hashem, the voice of Hashem. And at Har Sinai, listen to what the Pasuk says about the shofar. Perak Yutes, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Parshas Yisro. Vayihi Bayom HaShlishi. It was on the third day, Biyos Boker, it was in the morning. Vayihi Kolos Ubrakim. There were sounds, there were sights to see. Va'anan Kaved Alahar. V'kol shofar chazak ma'od. Of all the things that were happening at Har Sinai, the kol shofar was chazak ma'od. It was very, very strong. It was very powerful. V'yacharad kol ha'am asher b'machana, and the people were trembling. A few psukim later, it says that Moshe brings the people out, and they find their place at Har Sinai, the pasuk says. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has arrived at Har Sinai. And again, Vayihi kol hashofar holeich v'chazek ma'od. The shofar continued to go, in a certain sense, progressively louder, stronger and stronger. Klal Yisrael were very overwhelmed by that. But it was a loud and clear voice. According to Chazal and the Gemara in Zvachim, the whole world heard Kabbalah Satorah. And part of what they heard was not just the voice of Hashem, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, but they heard that blast of the shofar, the kol shofar chazak ma'od. The shofar that was holeich v'chazek ma'od, growing stronger and stronger and stronger. As David HaMelech describes in Tehillim, Kol Hashem b'kalach, the voice of Hashem is strong. Kol Hashem b'hadar. Kol Hashem shover arazim, the voice of God is so powerful, so tangibly powerful, that it could uproot things from their place. Shover arazim, it could break down cedar trees. V'yishaber Hashem es arzei halavanon. The voice of God can pave the way. But you got to get in line with the power of Hashem's voice. The sheer majesty of standing at our Sinai and hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu broadcasting so loudly to the world. The loud voice of Hashem and the loud sound of the shofar really combined at our Sinai. And therefore, when we listen to the shofar, we're trying to tap into that. Let's fast forward to one other scene in Tanakh. 500 years after Kabbalah Satorah, we meet up with Eliyahu. This is when Eliyahu is running from his life, from Yizevel, Malachim Aleph. This is right after the famous showdown with the Nevi'e Baal on Har Carmel. And he runs to a place that's very familiar to us. Where does he go? He goes to Har Chorev, a.k.a. Har Sinai. He goes back to that same place where we got the Torah. An amazing thing. Har Chorev is another name for Har Sinai. And Eliyahu is standing there by the mountain where Moshe Rabbeinu himself once stood. And he sees in front of him this whirlwind. He sees this awesome display of might. Right? And it's shattering rocks. It's just like paving the way. So what does Eliyahu say? No, what does Eliyahu say? Oh, that must be God. Or a representation of God. Right? That must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And of course, the Navi tells us, Lo beruach Hashem. That whirlwind, it's not Hashem. Hashem is not in the whirlwind. And then he sees or experiences a violent earthquake, trembling, shaking, a lot of Har Sinai imagery. He's in the place of Har Sinai. Lo berash Hashem. The violent earthquake, no, that's also not Hashem. And then he sees a fire. Lo be'esh Hashem. No? So where's Hashem? Got all the elements of Har Sinai, right? All the right things from Kabbalah Satorah, just playing themselves out at some point later in history. And all of a sudden, he experiences what's referred to, the Navi refers to as a kol demama daka. A kol, a voice, that's demama, Hashem domem, it's still, right? A rock is called domem, vayidom aron, still, a still voice that's daka, that's small or thin. A small, thin voice. And all of a sudden, that's where Hashem is. Hashem's not in the whirlwind, Hashem's not in the earthquake, Hashem's not in the fire. Somewhere in that small, thin voice, 500 years after Kabbalah Satorah, Eliyahu encounters the Borei Olam. But I thought Hashem is that whirlwind from Har Sinai, no? I thought Hashem is that, the shaking, the trembling. Like I told you, the Pasuk says, the Yecherad Kol Ha'am Asher B'Machaneh. The people are shaking. And at Har Sinai, I told you the Pasuk, the voice of Hashem is Holeich V'Chazek Ma'od. That should have gone on forever. Stronger and stronger and stronger. But my friends, the Metzias we all know. The Metzias is that as time goes on, it becomes harder sometimes to hear Hashem's voice. And the voice that once upon a time was super loud, and Hashem says, it's not going to be so easy to hear. You're not necessarily going to be. It's sort of that booming presentation. You're not going to have Har Sinai. You're not going to have Yetzias Mitzrayim. You're going to have to look a little harder and listen a little more carefully if you want to be able to hear the sound of Hashem in what? In that kol demama daka. Eliyahu HaNavi went to Har Sinai knowing, expecting, on some level, that I'm not expecting a recreation of Har Sinai. And Hashem made the point very clearly. All the loud Har Sinai effects, that's not it. Hundreds of years after Har Sinai, you're not going to get the open miracles. That's not how it's going to work. Certainly not in 2019, heading to 2020. Tav Shanayin Tes, Tav Shin Pei. Don't expect the open miracles. Don't expect the Baskol. Don't expect God to scream out of the heavens, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Realize on some level, yes, the voice of Hashem that was present at Har Sinai is Holeich V'Chazek Ma'od. It's still strong. But you have to tune in a different way. You have to be a person who's more discerning, who's a little more nuanced, who's able to say, kol demama daka. I'm going to tune in, and despite all the noise of the world, all the background noise, I'm going to find it. Rosh Hashanah, we say, is Hayom Haras Olam. Today is the day of creation of the world. Today is actually, Chaf Hei Elul, actually was day one of creation. Day six of creation, Aleph Tishrei, is the day that human beings were created. The pinnacle of creation. And that's why on Rosh Hashanah we say, Hayom Haras Olam. Today is when the world really happened. But Hayom Haras Olam, Rosh Hashanah is the day that the world was created. So let's review the three pillars upon which the world stands. Mishnah Pirkei Avos is probably familiar to most of us. The world stands on Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Let's talk Lamaisa. What does that mean? The world stands on Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. The Maharal of Prague says something which I come back to all the time. The Maharal says, Avodah is Ben Adam Lamakum. Gemilas Chasadim is Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Torah What's the third domain? Avoda is between me and Hashem. Gemilas Chasadim is me and my fellow human being, my fellow Jew. Torah is Bein Adam La'atzma. Torah is self-discovery. So let's talk about if the world is being recreated on Rosh Hashanah, and the shofar is the vehicle to make Rosh Hashanah successful, so let's talk about how the shofar impacts these three domains. Let's talk about shofar in Bein Adam La'makom, Bein Adam La'chavero, Adam La'is founded. And we'll have the three pillars in place to be able to keep the world going strong. Pashut, I'm going to say pashut things in each of these three categories. Three simple things for us to think about. Bein Adam La'makom. Pashut. Keep it really, really simple. 3,300 years ago, Hashem spoke to us at Har Sinai. We have to ask ourselves in Rosh Hashanah, do I still hear the voice of Hashem? I know it's hard. I know there's a lot of other sounds. But we learned in the Gemara, if it's chaviv to you, if it's precious to you, you can still hear Har Sinai. When I learn halacha, when I see an idea in Torah, do I feel challenged by the fact that it doesn't fit necessarily with the norms of society today? Does the Torah become outdated? Does the Torah have a depth which is able to somehow reconcile, in a sensitive way, the challenges of the times? Or do I have to choose between the world and the Torah? What's your choice? Hayom Mar Asola. Can you still hear the sound of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai? It was a great Dayan, a great Rosh Yeshiva, an amazing, amazing Torah personality whose yahrzeit was just yesterday. Yesterday was the yahrzeit of the Chafetz Chaim. It was also the yahrzeit of Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky was a Dayan in London for decades. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky was eventually Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim in his later years. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky was born in 1886, and Rav Yecheskel Abramsky fought over the course of his lifetime to make sure that Torah had a place in the world. And 1886 in Russia, in the world that he was growing up in a time of communist Russia, fighting against, you know, the terrible religious oppression was not a simple thing. He tried to get to Eretz Yisrael actually in the 1920s. He was rejected. He wasn't allowed to leave the country. 1926, 1928. 1929, he started the Torah publication, which was a radical idea. It lasted two issues before the government shut it down. But he fought. And he fought. And he fought. 1929, he was sentenced to 5 years of hard labor in Siberian work camp. What was his crime? A nice Jewish crime, teaching Torah, right? A terrible crime of teaching Torah. He ended up getting out in 1931 after about 2 years. There's an amazing story about when he got out. He actually got out right before Rosh Hashanah. The Chafetz Chaim was on the other side of the world, not anywhere near where Yecheskel Abramsky was. The Chafetz Chaim did not have a smartphone, it didn't have WhatsApp. The Chafetz Chaim was learning, maybe it was either Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur. He was learning with Rav Elchanan Wasserman, his Talmud Muvhak, and all of a sudden the Chafetz Chaim looked up and said, the Rav is a Reis, the Rav is free. The Rav is free. Rav Elchanan Wasserman said, Rebbe, I don't know what you're talking about. And he told them, he said, the Rav is free, the Rav is free. They found out later that Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, hundreds of miles from there, had been freed at that time. Chafetz Chaim with his Ruach HaKodesh knew. No, it's interesting that Rav Yecheskel Abramsky and Chafetz Chaim both share the same yahrzeit, the 24th of El. Very interesting. Just realized that now in the context of that story. So when Rav Yecheskel Abramsky was first arrested, he was taken, you know, he was taken for his terrible crimes of teaching Torah, and they wanted to interrogate him. So the interrogator was like this really harsh, cruel Russian, you know, like really tough. And he sat Rav Yecheskel Abramsky down and he tried to intimidate him. He was trying to get information. There was no information. The only information he had was like, you know, the next line in Bava Kama. There was no information. There was no like secret plot against the government. But he was trying to shake him down. He was intimidating him. And he started screaming at him. He started to there. Shivisi Lenegi Tom out there. He didn't flinch. So he turned it up and I started screaming. Mamish got in his face. He was screaming in his face. At one point, the Russian interrogator said to him, I don't understand. Have you ever heard a voice as loud as this? And cool as can be, Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, with not a bit of not a quiver in his voice, Rav Yecheskel Abramsky said, yes. In fact, right now I hear a voice that's even louder than yours. It's the voice of Hashem at Har Sinai. To look him in the face and to say that to him. 3,300 years after Har Sinai, it doesn't matter what you think is going to be with Torah. Anima amin, the Torah is going to last forever. And I'm prepared to fight you on it. And you can put a gun to my head, you can try to scare me and intimidate me. But at the end of the day, have you ever heard a voice as loud as this? Yes. And he quoted the pasuk, "Ukol gadol v'lo pasak," in Chumash Devarim. And Unkel says, "Lo pasak," right? Sorry, "Kol gadol v'lo yasaf." Unkel says, "Lo yasaf" means "lo pasak," a voice that never stops. It's the kol that's holeich v'chazek ma'od. It's that voice of Hashem that, again, it's not so easy always to hear. And there's a lot of people who want to silence the voice. Shah, shah, Hashem, stop with your old ideas. Just let it go. Live with the times. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants so badly that we should tune in and hear the kol d'mam b'daka of the voice of our Sinai. That's on a Bein Adam l'makom level. What about on a Bein Adam l'chaveira level? Again, the shofar we hear. Someone's going through like a really bad situation when it's loud, you know, and we hear their cries. You have to be a really insensitive Jew and a really harsh person to not like stop and say, "Are you okay?" But what about the kol d'mam b'daka? What about the person who's going through a really hard time and they're hiding it also really well? And it's hard to realize what they're going through. One of the great Rosh Yeshiva of our time, who passed away about 10 years ago, Rabbi Yehuda Amital, one of the founding Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yeshiva Har Etzion, used to tell a story all the time. All the time. It's so famous you probably know, but I'll tell it to you again anyways. Because he used to always tell the story and all the eulogies of Rabbi Amital, everyone spoke about the story of the Baal Tanya and the crying baby. If you don't know it, I'll tell it to you right now. Rav Amital used to tell this story. He said, the Baal Tanya one time, the Baal Tanya of Shneur Zalman of Liadi was sitting in one room and he was learning Torah. In the room next to him, one room over, was his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek. In the third room was a small child in a crib, in a cradle. And the baby started to cry. And the Baal Tanya got up from his room. He heard the cries of the baby. He closed his gemara. He got up from his room. He walked through the room, walked past the Tzemach Tzedek, and walked over to comfort the baby. And the Tzemach Tzedek said to his grandfather, he said, "You know, I didn't hear the baby. I was so immersed in my learning that, and you were two rooms over and you heard the baby crying. Like, that's really amazing." And the Baal Tanya said, "That's not amazing at all. It was hard. It was physically hard to hear the baby from where the Baal Tanya was seated." But the Baal Tanya said, and Rav Amital used to tell the story all the time, that if a person is studying Torah and you're so immersed in the sugya, you're so into your frumkeit, into your Yiddishkeit, that you can't hear the baby who's crying, even if it's a small, still cry, a kol d'mam b'daka of a baby two doors over, then there's something really, really wrong with your learning. Something's really off with your learning. As Jews, we have to ask ourselves, on Rosh Hashanah, again, 3,300 years after our Sinai, kol d'mam b'daka, can I still hear the quiet cry of someone who's going through a hard time? Can I advocate for them? Can I feel their pain? If it's chaviv, like we learned from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, cave and the chaviv, even if there's a lot of other things, a lot of other noise, I need to get the summer internship, I'm concerned with my own dating life, I don't have time to be busy with this or that. But if it's chaviv, if you care about your fellow Jew, then yohiv daiti, then you pay attention, vishama, and you're able to listen. You're able to tune in. I found an unbelievable story hidden in the back of a very strange book. And I was wondering, someone gave me this book, and I read like most of it. I was wondering, why am I reading this book? This is not helpful for me to read this book. But I found in the back of the book, it's a controversial book, in the back of the book I found an unbelievable story in a footnote, and then I said, okay, that's why I read this book. It was kedai for this one story. At the end of the life of the Minchas Elazar, the Munkatcher Rebbe. So the Munkatcher Rebbe took out his shofar, it was Elul time, and he was testing out the shofar that he was going to use on Rosh Hashanah. We blow a shofar in Elul, so he was practicing, he was blowing shofar. And the Minchas Elazar had a grandson who loved to hear the way that his Zayda used to blow the shofar. And he would always come and he would always ask his grandfather, you know, blow the shofar one more time. I like the way you do it. One more blow, one more sound. Noch ein blus. Right? One more blow. He'd always ask him, one more, okay. So he'd always humor his grandson, you know. He'd always blow the shofar one more time. Until his grandson was satisfied, you know. I'll time you, let's see how long your tekiah gedola can go for, you know. Fine. It comes Erev Rosh Hashanah. The halacha is we don't blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. I trick the satan to distinguish between shofar shal minag and shofar shal mitzvah. I think we're down. Okay, the mic's gone. Yeah, I have to project. Kol shofar, chazek mo'ed. So we don't blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. His grandson comes to him on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and he says, "Nu zayda, noch ein blus, one more blow." I can't. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. The halacha doesn't allow us to blow the shofar. He says, Heintes Erev Rosh Hashanah? Erev Rosh Hashanah? I can't blow the shofar today. And his grandson says, one more blow. I'm not allowed. The halacha is we don't blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the kid starts to cry. He starts throwing a tantrum. He falls on the floor. He says, Zayda, one more blow. Blow the shofar. I love the way you blow the shofar. The kid's crying. Make a whole scene out of the... No. What do you do? Baby's crying. The kid's crying. The Minchas Elazar says, fine. I know you're not supposed to. Okay. He felt it was appropriate. He takes out his shofar. He blows the shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. The kid wipes away his tears. His favorite little einikel is all happy now. And he runs off to do whatever little kids do. The Minchas Elazar came to shul the next day on Rosh Hashanah. And the Minchas Elazar, before the tekios, he got up. And he said, Rabbon Olam, I need to make a confession. Yesterday I did an avera. The halacha is that we don't blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. But my grandson was crying and sobbing uncontrollably. So I felt, what choice did I have? And how big of an avera could it be, you know? How terrible could it be to blow the shofar? I blew it one time. One time I did it. Right? How bad could it be to comfort the tears of a child, that this kid should be able to stop crying and pick himself up off the floor? So Hashem, I confess, I did an avera. I know in a certain sense I transgressed the halacha. I did the wrong thing, but I couldn't bear to watch this child cry. And then the Minchas Elazar turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Rabbono Shalom, you're also a tata. You're also a father. And your children are also crying. Right? And we also just want one shofar blow. It's an amazing story. We also want one shofar. Teka b'shofar gadol l'chei ruseinu. Blow the shofar one time. Bring Mashiach with one shofar blast, and it'll solve a lot of problems. A lot of tears will be wiped away. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I ask you, right, even if it's not the right time, even if the halacha, in quotes, doesn't say now's the right time for Mashiach, Hashem, just like I took a little bit of liberty to violate the halacha, to remove the pain of one little child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us one shofar blast. Give us one shofar blast to bring the geula and to wipe away all of the tzaras of Klal Yisrael. They were called the Mamadaka. A Jew asks on Rosh Hashanah, I hear the big shofar blast. When there's a communal issue or an individual is going through a really hard time and I can hear their sobs, of course I'm there for them. But called the Mamadaka, can I tune in? Can I tune in hundreds of years after Har Sinai? Hundreds of years after those original shofar blasts? And am I still able to hear the pain of another person? And last but not least, I told you, Hayom Aras Olam, the world stands on a third pillar, which is what? Which is the pillar of Torah. Torah avod the gemilas chasadim. Torah is ben adam la'atzma. What is the kol the mamadaka of ben adam la'atzma? And again, posh it. I'm going to say something very posh. Kol the mamadaka. Every one of us has a neshama. Our neshama, I was learning with my students in YU this morning, our neshama so badly wants to be connected to Hashem. Our neshama is being held in captivity, is trapped in our body. There's this little chelik elokam imal. It's very powerful. We can give it expression. But sometimes it's silence because the body and the bodily urges and the bodily needs and the bodily desires block out and drown out that voice of the neshama that's inside of ourselves. That chelik elokam, that infinite spark inside of ourself somehow gets drowned out. But if it's chaviv to you, if you know what's the ikkar of your life, and you don't get lost in the needs of your physical existence, and you pay attention to the needs of your soul, and you tune in and you listen to the kol de mamadaka of your own neshama, right? Then the neshama can also be holeich v'chazek ma'od. It could be so strong, it could be so powerful. It could change the whole world. I once read an explanation of the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Kol dodi dofik. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. That's the whole inyan of these days. Kol dodi dofik. The kol, the voice, the sound of my beloved, of my dodi, is dofik, is knocking. You know what else dofek means? In modern Hebrew, dofek means the pulse. A person's pulse, right? Because it's knocking, not so loudly. Most of the time we don't realize it. I guess if you have like a good workout, sometimes you could feel it like, you know, more pronounced. I guess if you tune in, you could feel it pulsating. It's a kol de mamadaka. It's a quiet little knock. But every time, if a Jew just pauses, and try this on Rosh Hashanah, This is your homework assignment, okay? Not theoretical, real stuff. Pause at some point when you're listening to the shofar. It's not a hefsek. I'll give you a psak halak. It's not considered a hefsek. Just place your hand on your pulse for a second, and realize kol dodi dofik, with every little knock, every time you feel your pulse, or every breath that you take, right? You breathe in, you breathe out. The same way the Baal Tokei is also breathing life into that ram's horn. Kol dodi dofik, who's knocking? Again, it's a kol demavadak. It's a quiet knock. It's a still thin voice, but it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What? It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu knocking. Put your hand over your heart. You feel your heartbeat. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu knocking. It's Hashem saying, don't lose sight of me. Don't forget about me. Most of the time you're not aware of it. I understand. But pause once in a while. I even thought to say that maybe when we do, you know, when we do the Ashamnu Bagadnu, Judah Michelle was here, when was that? Last night? When was that shir? Monday night? Right? So he quoted Rav Leib Eger. It's a good shir, no? He quoted Rav Leib Eger, said it's like CPR. You know, you're trying to like revive the heart. I have a different shot. I think what we're trying to do is outwardly mimic a heartbeat. Right? There's different ways you can say the pshat. You could say, even though Hashem, you're giving me life, Hashamnu, Bagadnu, how did I abuse that life? How did I misuse that life? But you could also be saying that, you know what? As part of my commitment to not Hashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, V'chulu, the coming year, I'm going to become more aware of what? Of the kol demamadaka, of the kol dodi dofek inside of myself. So three different areas, again, where we try to hear the shofar. Again, it's hard to hear the shofar. The Gemara is struggling with hearing a shofar when it's surrounded by holy sounds of chatzotzos. All the more so in our noisy world, it's so hard sometimes. But tune in. Try to listen in. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev used to say, there are some people who hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and halavai, they're on such a madrega that they take the sound of the shofar with them the entire year. It's a very chashuv level. To be able, you know, in a couple months from now, after hearing the shofar, detected through your memory of the shofar, it's a gevaldik thing. But the Berditchever said there's an even higher level. There are some Jews, and we were all those Jews, who stood at Har Sinai. There were Jews whose neshama stood at Har Sinai and heard the original kol shofar of Har Sinai, and they're able to hear it for the rest of their life. Or Rav Yecheskel Abramsky sitting in a Siberian work camp being interrogated by some thug, and being able to hear, there's a much louder voice in the world. The voice of Hashem is much louder than any of the background noise. And no matter how much I'm learning, the Baal Tanya taught the Tzemach Tzedek, I can't not hear the cry of my fellow Jew. And most importantly, perhaps, the kol demamadak inside of ourselves, to be able to listen in deeply. So I leave you with one line from the Unasana Tokef, which is in many ways, you know, the centerpiece when people really start to tune in to the davening of the Yom Noram. A line in the Sana Tokef that captures everything that we said today. If you highlight it in your machzer, hopefully you'll remember some of the thoughts that we shared today. Open it up. Unasana Tokef. There's a line there that says, Uvishofar gadol yitaka. The big shofar should resound in the world. Vikol demamadaka yishama. From the big sound of the shofar of Mashiach, the big sound of the shofar of Har Sinai, to the voice of Hashem, Kol Hashem Bakalach, which is synonymous with that shofar. To the kol demamadaka, a Jew has to be prepared and understand how to hear both. Uveshofar gadol yitaka, v'kol demamadaka yishama. A beautiful line. So Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. We should be able to say, Hashem, the kol shofar of Har Sinai, the first mention of shofar in the Torah, is still Hashem, it's still chazak mod. It's still so strong. It's still so real in the world. And if we tune in, if we listen to the big shofar, and we listen in, become sensitive to hear even the small shofar, the kol demamadaka, then Amir Tzashem, we will be zochet to hear the teka b'shofar gadol l'chirusenu with the geula as we crown HaKadosh Baruch over the entire Bria with Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu. Sivach Sima Tova to everyone. The great Yantif.